This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is the best lecture series. Lessons and talks on various Islamic topics.
Today's program, Family Values, with Dr. Ahmad Saq.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومولاه رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له بذلك أمرت أنا والمسلمين. My dear sisters and brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Now every time from now on we should at least start with a dua. The one of the dua is dua Sayyid al-Istighfar. This dua is very, very important. Whoever reads this dua at night and he or she pass away, Jannah is waiting for them. Whoever reads it in the morning and pass away in the daytime, Jannah is waiting for them. This dua Sayyid al-Istighfar. Of course, istighfar is to make astaghfirullah al-azim, astaghfirullah al-azim, whatever you want. And to the master of all istighfar, is this one. What to do, what to say, is to say, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant khalaqtani wa ana abduk wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'at a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana't abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayya wa abu'u bi dhanbi faghfir li fa innahu la yaghfiru adh-dhunuba illa ant. This is the dua. The rest of it is saying anyone who reads it in the morning and dies, go to Jannah. And whoever reads it at night, die, go to Jannah. The meaning of it, if you want to follow, O Allah, you are my God, there is no one but you. And it is you who created me, and I am your servant. And I pledge to be according to what you ask me to do, ahd. Wa ana ala ahdika means I am up to what we have made an agreement, pledge. Wa wa'dika mastata'at. I promise you I'll be your obedient servant as much as I can afford it. So don't think everybody is going to be the same level, not even husband, wife, not even parent, children. Each one has different capacity and threshold of tolerance. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana't. I seek refuge in you for any mistake I have made. And all of us make mistakes, and don't think you are an angel. Make mistake, you say I'm sorry. Be humble enough to say I'm sorry. Even husband to your wife, say sorry. Even father, mother to your children, be humble enough and say, I'm sorry, I made the mistake. It's not easy for a father to say, I'm sorry to his wife or to his children. And not easy even for a mother who is raising her children to say, I'm sorry, I made mistake. If you are not going to say, I'm sorry, you cannot go to Allah and say, Allah, I'm sorry. He will say, I will not forgive you till you go and then ask forgiveness from those who you made mistake to. Abu laka bi ni'matika alayhi. I come to you and the ni'mah that you gave me is from you and I am grateful to you for it. Wa abu bi dhanbi, but I come to you, Ya Allah, full of mistakes. Means I have a whole bushel of mistakes, I'm coming, bringing them to you. Ya Allah, forgive me. Faghfir li fa innahu la yaghfiru adh-dhunuba illa ant. Please, Ya Allah, forgive me. Nobody is going to forgive me except you. It's good to be humble enough in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the other thing. We start with family values. Islam came to establish families with values. And the family with values, if we don't have a family, what do we are? Islam had created Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Adam, and for Adam, from Adam, brought his wife and made a family. A family is not husband-wife. They could have stayed in paradise, husband-wife, but they would feel lonely. Loneliness, even husband and wife without children of their choice, not of Allah's decision, is a life of loneliness. So Allah has made also children for us in order not to feel lonely, husband, wife. It's a miserable life. I have another article, about 25 pages, about loneliness. But Allah doesn't want us to live lonely. Even Jannah, you are not to live by yourself in Jannah. In Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, هُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ فِي ظِلَالٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ. In Jannah, husband and wife are going to enjoy the matrimonial life. And much more, in other surahs, it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring your children. And especially those who died infant and before the age of puberty to come and then bring you all the services for you. So you don't feel lonely in paradise. We have a proverb in the Arabic language, Jannah bidun nas ma btindas. Jannah without a human being even around you, nothing. It will be like a ghost. You'll be scared. Even if you come to a neighborhood when you are the first house to build, there is nobody, you'll be scared. Imagine yourself, even you yourself, in your own house by yourself. Your husband has gone for a conference for 5 days and you are living by yourself. How do you feel every night? Even any click, click of a door, you feel lonely. And therefore, the idea of a family values is very, very important. We used to hear from sociologists 50 years ago, a family could be husband, wife, children, and maybe relatives, which are the extended. 10 years ago, they started telling us, no, it's family, husband, wife, and children. Last year and the year before, they said, no, could be single parent. And single parent could be what? Either divorced or widow. No, they don't mean that. Single parent means female could have sex and the man run away and she is single parent. Now they say, no, you don't need to have single parent, homosexual, gay and lesbian. And even they went all the way to the Muslim countries and non-Muslim countries to convince the Muslims you don't have to have children. Or even if you have children, make sure that you have the least. It's not family planning, what they call it, birth control. The idea of birth control does not exist in the book of Islam because of the word control. Who has the right to control other than Allah? No government has the right to control. No one has to dictate upon us that you should not have any number of children. It's your own wish. You may have one, two. With family planning, yes, but control means the government controls it. Islam against it. United Nations try through some crazy Muslim countries, you know, they hold it in Cairo, to convince the whole Muslim world. They are fed up that the number of the Muslims is increasing so much so, it's like a ghost or like a halo or something, like an enemy coming to the whole world. They want to reduce the number of the Muslims. 1.4 billion Muslims, in America 8 million Muslims, from where you are coming? I don't know. Number of children, maybe. No, immigrant, yes. Number of children, yes. Convert, yes. So people love Islam, they are coming to it. Even in the whole foreign countries, people are accepting Islam. In France, high officials are accepting. In England, members of the parliament are becoming. Prince Charles cannot announce his Islam. He writes so many articles about Islam, the best thing in the world. Bernard Shaw, George Bernard Shaw, wrote an article, the best article. He said, we, the intellectual people in Europe, are practicing Islam, but we cannot say it. The new century is going to announce Islam as the outstanding religion of the world. You go to Vatican, Italy, the headquarters of the Vatican, for Catholic. The country of Italy is a Catholic country. No, it's a secular country. Italy is a secular country. Communist Party was ruling the whole country for numbers of years. The socialism, communism, nationalism, everything, and a small party called Christian Party. Even in the Vatican, when I went last year, like now, like this week, last week I was in the Vatican with the cardinals, bishop, and the pope for 5 days conference. I had to present the first paper for 1 hour. And they told us, the Bible is no more the true book of God. And you Muslims don't argue with us, Bible say, Bible say, Bible. You Muslims, you are stuck with your Quran to the letter. We said, what is your true Bible? They said the true Bible is from the Second Vatican Council whatever we decided from the Second Council of Vatican is the true revelation of God. Which year? 1960, up till now. They said 1600 years ago, the book has been rewritten, written in customs habit, and it's no more the true Bible. I said, Alhamdulillah, the Quran has the true Bible. And when I tell this to the Catholic, they are shocked. The other thing they told us, no one Christian is a Christian. The only Christian, no, Protestant, all the denomination of the Protestant of the world are not Christians. Seventh-day Adventists, not Christian. Jehovah's Witness, not Christian. Mormons are not Christian. Baptists are not Christian. Lutheran are not Christian. Any Protestant, anyone is not a Christian. The only Christian are who? The Catholic. And I said, you are interested to convert us and to make missionary in the Muslim world. Why you are worried about us? We are crazy. Leave us alone. Here in America, we have so many Catholics who are becoming Christian, I mean, becoming Muslims. Why don't you come and take care of them? Honest to God, many of the Americans who are accepting Islam are the Catholics, highly educated. You are worried about us? Go and take care of your own children. I have a picture, I thought. Somebody put it for me, the picture that last year I was in the Vatican with the Pope, with the Cardinal and Bishop, but that is during the celebration. But we had 5 days sitting in a conference closed room. They refused to allow people like Adam to come and then do recording. They said no recording, not even tape recorder. They were scared to death. I said, why you are scared? It's open. In America, everything is open. They said, no, this is Vatican. In Vatican, we don't allow anything to go outside our hands. You see how scared they are. We tell them our family values, they appreciate. Before continuing family values, let me finish from this situation. Do you know that they have 3 Islamic universities controlled by the Vatican? Give BA, MA, PhD. In Islamic studies, in Sharia, in Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, Sirah, and Khutab Jum'ah. When they saw my books of Khutab Jum'ah, they want all my books of Khutab Jum'ah. They said, we are teaching Khutab Jum'ah. When they showed the outline, I showed them the outline of Islamic Sharia class, they said, give us all the material of Sharia class because we teach Sharia here. They took us to their library in the College of Islamic Studies there. The students are from Pakistan, from India, from Iraq, from Lebanon, from Jordan, from Egypt, from all Arab and Muslim countries. They bring Muslims and Christians at the same time. Confuse them, so as they go and proselytize the Muslim and confuse the Muslims. I can get you so many now, distorted ayah. Let me see if you know whether it is distorted or not. Since you are an Arab, the only Arab. They say, you Muslims, you tell us that قُلْ يَأَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Come, let's sit together and discuss issues. On one side, Quran says this. On the other side, says, وَلَا تَأْمَنُوا إِلَّا لِمَنْ تَبِعَدْ. وَلَا تَأْمَنُوا means don't trust anybody unless they are following your religion. So how come in one ayah it says go and invite and study and discuss issues and solve it? On the other, don't trust us. So how can we live with you? What would you say? وَلَا تَأْمَنُوا. So, وَلَا تَأْمَنُوا means don't trust anybody unless they are followers. See, he accepted the distorted ayah. Instead of correcting me, they tried to find an excuse for that distorted ayah to explain the ayah wrongly. He wants to explain it rightly, but it is not ayah. There is no ayah in the Quran called وَلَا تَأْمَنُوا إِلَّا لَمَنْ تَبِعَ دِينَكُمْ. There is another ayah called وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا, not وَلَا تَأْمَنُوا. And who said it? The Jews used to say to each other against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't believe in Muhammad, don't believe in the Muslims unless they follow you. Believe. See the word? Believe, tu'min. Trust, ta'man. It's easy to change one vowel to distort the whole meaning. And since they know that Arab Muslims didn't study much Islam and they have special course how to invade the Arab Muslim mentality. Another course, Arab Christian mentality, to teach them these things to confuse the Muslim. The third course is for you non-Arab Muslims, because you don't know much about your Islam, it's easy to convert you. And there are Pakistani Muslim and Christians studying in the Vatican. At any rate, I wish I have the time to discuss all these. Usually it takes me 2 hours to tell you all my visit, what had happened there for 1 week. And really, it's a surprise for all of us that we didn't know. And they established Islamic universities with degrees. Here in America, do we have Islamic universities run by us? No. Why? It costs money, fortune. We don't want. So don't want. Let's go back to the family. Sometimes I add flavor here, flavor there, so as it will not be a dull. And really, it's really so exciting, so good that you should be aware of it. And we told them, we don't convert, you convert. We don't proselytize, you proselytize. We don't baptize, you baptize. And we don't debate, you debate. What do we do? I said, we inform. They said, no, now we don't believe in proselytization. I said, no, you still believe it. You know what is proselytization? Means you try to convert somebody through hardship. They go to India, Pakistan, or Africa, poor, miserable people, or refugees. They go and give them food, medicine, give them the Bible. Now, I told them, one of the cardinal was from Nigeria. He was bragging that because of the Vatican, he became now in the range of cardinal. You know, cardinals are the ones who select the Pope from within themselves. For 450 years, the Pope has to be from Rome. This Pope is from Poland. And it was a big war in the whole Catholic world. How in the world, even white, blonde, blue, Polish? Polish. Polish is Pope? Now, that crazy cardinal from Africa, from Nigeria, he thinks that one time he might be there. It will never. I said, you yourself, I was in Nigeria, and I know what you have done in Nigeria. When I was in Nigeria, the Muslims of Nigeria will not send their kids to Christian missionary schools, not even to public school, some of them. They wanted only to Muslim schools. What did you do? You established a Muslim school, you Christians, and you called it Muslim grammar school, which is high school. We went there, knock at the door, Salaamu Alaikum, what? Salaamu Alaikum, what? Is this Muslim grammar school? Yes. He said, we are Christian missionaries renting this place for the Muslim. Go to the other building, the principal is there. We went to the principal, knock at the door, Salaamu Alaikum, what? Are you the principal? Yes. Salaamu Alaikum, is this Muslim grammar school? Yes. And in his office, all the pictures of Mary and Jesus and statues. We found out all the administrators and the teachers are Christians, all the kids are Muslims. Muslim families, they want to send their kids to Muslim schools, so they establish Muslim grammar school, but they are Christians running the whole school. I said, you are cheaters, you are liars. You goof the Muslims to bring them there, to cheat them, to proselytize them. We brought it to the attention of Grand Mufti at that time. He was shocked. He said, they came to us, and we gave them letter of recommendation to go to the Middle East and get money because they are Muslim school. I said, you see, you are Grand Mufti, and you don't know what goes on in your country. Proselytization through deceiving and through cheating and lying. I said, Jesus is innocent of what you are doing. We will not go through this route. You help people, you don't tell them zakat, so as not to insult them. You help people, don't brag and say, I'm rich, you are poor. Don't brag that you are donating and generous. Do it for the love of Allah. The best of all, when you put your hand in one, and you try to give it, not even the two hands know what you have done. That's the maximum that you can really please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it easy? It's not easy. Is it easy to put your hand in one pocket and give and you don't know how much? No. Once I was raising money to one masjid, one child was so happy. He went to his father. He said, Father, did you hear Dr. Sakhar what he said? He said, yes, what does it mean? He said, you give money, you shouldn't know how much. He said, how can I do it? He said, give me your credit card. I'll give it to him. Let him deduct how much he wants. Then by the end of the month, you know how much you deducted. Somebody came to me. He said, crazy? You take credit card? Don't you know haram? Why? I said. He said, you pay interest. I said, no, you don't have to pay interest. By the end of the month, pay it. You don't pay interest. Now, we go back to family counseling and family values. Islam has insisted that family is built on solid foundation. Father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, and all the extended families. Now, therefore, I wish that we Muslims understand it the way Allah wanted it. Now, the mother-in-law and father-in-law should be the best example for us. Nowadays, not all of them. Some of them, but not all of them. And the nephews and the cousins and the uncles and the aunts are all integral part of the family. In the old times, they used to live in one neighborhood and one big house, mansion like, for every room and its facilities. Another room with facilities like a suite, and all in the same. But now, nobody wants to see anybody. Leave me alone. Me and my wife, and not even your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, leave them alone. And vice versa. The reverse, when husband married their wife, they say, don't bring me your brother, sister, anything, me and you, khalas. What is the value of a family? No. Yes, if you, brother, you bring your brother to live in your house, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, Alhamu al-maut. You know maut? Death. If you bring your brother to live in your own house, it will be a problem to you and to your wife. I have seen cases in Chicago when I was there. Suppose you brought your brother, you want him to live in your house, and he's young. Who's going to take care of him? Your wife. Say, please take care of my younger brother because I want to send him to college, and so on and so on. By taking him back and forth daily, love started between the wife and the younger brother. And they ran away together, and she divorced her husband, and she married his younger brother. It happened, a good number of that. So there is rules and regulation that if you want to help your own brother as a father, as a husband, help him, but don't put him in your own personal house. Put him in another apartment, even more money. Otherwise, don't bring him from your country to America or in your Muslim country, because there will be a time when something goes wrong. So in the family values that we are talking about values with morality. Now the question that has been raised, if I adopt a child, would you put like a mahram or no mahram? That's also value. We are talking about family values. Family values is built on morality. Now family values, even Quran in chapter 24, telling us your children, when you have to teach them to knock at the door three times a day, means your bedroom is locked and your children have no right to enter that bedroom three times a day. Fajr time, afternoon, qailula, rest, and at night. Why? Because you might be relaxed with your husband and not taking care of yourself. That's your private life that you have to enjoy it with your husband, and therefore you have to teach your children that way. But our children are not being told that the value. You have to teach even your boys and girls, nowadays in this vulgar society, you don't know who's who. Even brother and sister now may have sex relationship. Even father and daughter may have sex relationship. Don't you hear it every day on public? I'm not talking about Muslim, but we are also human beings. The more you allow integration or assimilation without values and barakat, the more we allow shaitan to enter into our house, to disturb our house. And shaitan can disturb our houses very easily if, take it seriously since I'm talking to Muslims, if you do not pray five times a day, you are a culprit for the shaitan to disturb you and disturb the whole family. I repeat once for all. We'll talk about it later tomorrow, about this idea of how we can help each other spiritually and getting rid of all these things. I usually say, if we do not pray five times a day, one or two, the husband or the wife, shaitan comes to you to penetrate into your house and chain you in two pieces. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. Anyone who refrains to pray five times a day and remember Allah, you will be like a dog chained down with the chain of the shaitan to tell you what you are supposed to do. And very simple formula. Because you refuse to remember Allah, then that is the loophole for shaitan to come to. Now even if you and your wife pray five times a day, honest, sincere, shaitan comes to your babies to show them nightmares to disturb you after 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, after 9. Even if you protect your children, and you should protect yourself at the time of sleeping. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read Ayatul Kursi, kul a'uzu, and wipe himself in order not shaitan to come at night to show him nightmare. But if you want shaitan not to enter your house for 24 hours, you have to read Surah Al-Baqarah. If you read it, all of it, he will not enter your house for 3 days and three nights. But who is going to read it? Surah Al-Baqarah, all of it. But there is a shortcut. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, if you read the first 5 ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى المتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. These are first 5 آيات from Baqarah. Number 2, you read آيات كرسي, behind it immediately الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم, and the 2 آيات after it لا إكراه في الدين. These are 3 ayat, Kursi and 2 more ayat, 5 and 3, 8. And the last 3 ayat of Baqarah, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا. Therefore, 11 ayat, if you read them daily, no shaitan can come to your house for 24 hours. Is it too much? No. You can read them at night, in the morning, during the day, wipe your face.
Huh? When you're driving,
then
you can read.
Yes. So my respect to the whole family value, so as no shaitan will penetrate you and your wife and your children. Even your children, if they are babies, wipe their face and body before they go to sleep with the Ayatul Kursi. Hopefully nothing will happen to them. Now, even if you and your husband and your children are protected in your house, Allah will send you another crazy Muslim to disturb you inside the masjid, because he is being possessed by shaitan or chained down by shaitan, and he comes with all his vulgarity and immorality and all the type of thing to disturb you. Well, what would you do if somebody starts shouting at you, and if you have a husband, what your husband will do? He will fight him. Well, we have at least in Eid, Salat al-Eid in Chicago, 20,000 people. Some ladies coming, beautiful, decorated. Somebody saw a young lady, beautiful. He started whistling to her to attract her attention. It turned to be she is with her husband. That poor fellow went and brought a piece of metal and hit him on his head, blood and crush and whatnot. The squad came, the ambulance came, the police came, and all this happened in the Eid, the happy occasion, unfortunately. In Orange County, Eid al-Fitr. They made it in the Navy buildings, mashallah, 15,000. Beautiful khutbah Muzammil Siddiqui gave and whatnot. And while going out, also teenagers were fighting. Second day, you know, Eid al-Fitr was Thursday. Friday, he gave them beautiful khutbah praising the Muslim, how they behaved there. He did not know they were fighting. After they finished the khutbah, people start, gangsters, Muslims, fighting each other inside the masjid area. 18 police cars came to take them away from each other and put some of them in the jail. Why? Because somebody whistling to a girl, he beated him, they beat each other. Second day, they brought each other's gang and they start fighting in the masjid. So what I'm saying, family values, yes, we love ourselves. Don't expose your beauty too much. And when you are in a crowd like this, everybody, husband, should say, this is my wife. And you should say, yes, he's my husband. Is it haram to say, this is my wife or this is my husband? In the Muslim countries, families, yes. They said that Oriental people, husband walk in the front and wife in the back. He doesn't want to let everybody, this is my wife. That's culture. In Europe, they said they walk side by side. In America, the lady walk in the front and the man in the back, because she is the boss in America. I'm saying, but Islam, is it not true? Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was walking with his wife after Maghrib. It was dark, and somebody passed by, salamu alaikum, alaikum salam. And afterwards, he said, come here, brother. Yes, Rasulullah, what? He said, this is my wife. He said, yeah, what's wrong? He said, I don't want to allow your shaitan to think I'm walking with any lady. This is my wife. You see? You see, that's the honor of a value of a family.
You are listening to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr. We will be back after this short break. Sallallahu ala Muhammad,
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may God be pleased with him, reported that the Prophet of God, may the peace and blessings of God be upon him, said, "It is associating partners with God to believe in omens derived from birds, but we are superstitious. If we trust in Him, God will put our superstitions to rest." Commentators have studied this hadith exhaustively. In sum, if a believer trusts God and decides upon a course of action, he or she can ignore superstition and the feelings of insecurity that it inspires. It is human nature to be superstitious at times. It is associating partners, however, with God, to believe in and to act upon in accordance with what it seems to dictate. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Welcome back to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr.
You want more? I'll go more. Dr. Muzaffar, would you be able today and your wife to make a jogging race in front of all of us and see who's going to be faster? 1 mile race. And we bring you and your wife, and anyone who is married here will bring the husband and wife and say, "Dr. Akhtar, you are here? Your wife is here? Well, she's out." Same thing. Will you repeat the same thing? "Me and my wife to run in front of everyone, and we are watching?" Where in the world you are bringing this new invention in Islam? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it with Aisha. When she was young still, she surpassed him and she won. And it's written in the hadith in the seerah. Later on, she became a little bit husky, and he ran and he won. It's written. How, where did he do it at night? Everybody was seeing them. Everybody was watching, and it was reported in the whole hadith. But if you tell Muslim to do this, no, shame. Okay, shame to do what Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, but we do so many other things. Family values does not prevent you from doing social activities, sports activities. Huh? What did Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us? عَلِّمُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ الرِّمَايَةَ وَالسِّبَاحَةَ وَرُكُوبَ الْخَيْلِ. Teach your children horseback riding, and teach them swimming, and teach them archery. Swimming? Where to swim? You want to swim in front of others, men and women? No, he didn't say men and women. But how you are going to swim among yourself, you sisters? With the whole hijab? I don't know. We had camping, every year we had camping from Illinois, we go to California to Marghoub Qureshi. And we have his wife, you know, his wife. And we have swimming for ladies, swimming for boys. Even in Chicago, we go to Wisconsin for the camping. We have swimming for girls and moms and swimming for boys and father. But with decency and special dress. But at least we have to learn. God forbid, if now you are dumped into a swimming pool, would you know how to swim? No. Save your life? No. But that's our problem. We learn so many things in science and technology, but our saving the life, we don't want to learn it because... But it is part of family values. No, we thought family values means only put the hijab and hide yourself and don't come to the masjid. That's Islam. You know, there are certain places, they don't allow Muslim women even to enter masjid. It's haram. Aib. Don't you feel ashamed? How you allow them to come to the masjid? The shadow of a woman, not a woman, shadow of a woman is haram. If you think that way, go and live somewhere else. This is the planet Earth. It is male and female. It's parent and children, family values. I'm talking still about the family values. So the family values, there is respect, no doubt about it. Yes, Islam demanded from both of us, first we, before you, sister. He said the family values that we men, when we look at women, don't poke your eyes. Therefore, if you think sex hormone from pituitary gland are going to secrete and excrete, cast your eyes. So many times we look, we talk, then we turn our face and listen. Or we look and we look down. American ladies don't appreciate it. In America, they say eye to eye. Yes or no?
Yeah.
To a Muslim sister, I want to talk to you eye to eye. What will happen to you, to me? You say, why he's scaring me? He's poking his eyes toward me. So we Muslims, out of courtesy, we look down. Yes or no? Or we look side. Many times American ladies, what they think? And they said, yes, how did you know? I said, many times when a Muslim man is talking to any lady, American or Muslima, it's not recommended to look eye to eye, cast down the eye. They think that the man is looking there. And they told me, yes. Many times we put our hand here, we thought he is looking here, he's not looking eye to eye. I said, no, out of respect, he's looking down, he's not looking at your chest. He said, true. I said, because out of respect not to look eye to eye, they look down, and you think you are, he's looking here. So they told me, many Americans, at least you broke the ice, because it happened many times, and we don't know why they don't look at us. Anything wrong? I said, no, out of respect. Islam says, كل المؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم. Tell believing men, when they look at women, cast down their eyes in order to protect their private organs. And you know it, biologically, sex hormone from pituitary glands secrete and excrete all types of hormone. Even you smell hamburgers, saliva in your mouth. The biryani, saliva comes in your mouth. Why? Because the male man, whose name is acetyl coenzyme A, goes from to the brain and say, what? Go and then tell the salivary gland secretes. And then the same thing for sex hormone and all other things. And therefore Islam says, your first look is for you, the second look is against you. Let me repeat. The first look, if I'm looking at you, the first look is for me. The second look is against me if I continue looking like this. You know, in the camp, what a young boy told me? He said, uncle, is it true? I said, yes. He said, three times he asked me the first look for me, second look against me. I said, yeah. You know, he said, you gave me permission. What is permission? He said, the first look. He didn't have eyeglass. He said, I'm going to catch my eyes like this, not to allow it to, I look, so it's first look for me. You see, boys and girls, they're teenagers, they are so smart, they know how to make use of it for their benefit. The same thing for the women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same surah says, let them also do the same. You have the same brain, same sex hormone, on a different level. Difference is OH group here, the other one is H group. I'm not going to go now into that hormones and detail about it, but you know it from biology and biochemistry and whatnot, the difference. Now, it says more to the ladies, that at least they should not expose their beauty. Yeah, a beauty? Why not we? They said, no, they are beautiful. So you are beautiful by nature. You don't have to decorate yourself. So you have to hide your beauty as much as possible. And different culture, Muslims have different way of doing it. But Allah said it, modesty. What is modesty? It's up to you. It has been explained not to be tight, not to show movement of any organ of the body, and not to put too much cosmetics, because any cosmetic you put is a sign of attraction. It's up to you. The Islam. The same thing Islam says, that their dress should extend all the way down, loose. And the hijab, unfortunately, a good number did not know. They think hijab is only on the neck, on the chest. No. حَجَبَ يَحْجُبُ حِجَابًا خَمْرًا وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُورِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ الخمار, what is khamra? Alcohol? How do you produce alcohol? You put the grape and you have cover it from the top 100%. If oxygen comes into it, it becomes acetyl coenzyme. It will become acetic acid, which is vinegar. If you cover it 100%, it is ethyl alcohol, it is khamra. So the khamra is top cover. And that is the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Asma bint Abu Bakr, when she became the age of puberty, she showed her femininity. He said, Ya Asma, المرأة إذا بلغت المحيط, when she reached the age of puberty, nothing should be shown except the face and the hands. That is your business. We are talking about family values. We are not now asking anybody to do anything. It's your business to do whatever you want. It's not my business here to tell you otherwise except what Islam. And don't feel bad, those who don't have it, Don't feel bad, We respect all of you. We honor all of you. But it's not this that makes you better Muslim. But if you do it, well and good. Now, for those Muslims, they ask me, is it a must? I said, Wallah, it's not me, Allah says it. I said, do you pray 5 times a day, Dr. Suraya, supposedly? Do you pray with hijab or without hijab? How about if you are by yourself in your own house, nobody at home except you? Do you put hijab also during the salat? Why? Allah demanded that you should also put hijab during salat when you are by yourself in your own bedroom, nobody is there. Why you put hijab? Allah created you. He knows you from top to bottom. Why you are putting hijab to Allah? You are hiding from Allah? Don't misunderstand me if I use. He has no sex hormones or sex appeals or anything like us. Huh? But you do this out of respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and out of modesty and decency. So when you come to the masjid, don't you do the same? I said to the Muslim sister, at least, if you pray 5 times a day and you believe you put hijab, it's enough now training course for you. The last will come at a later time. I don't force the hijab, I don't talk about it, by the way. When I teach also the sisters for a year, they ask me about hijab, I say, I'm not going to talk about it. Because haq, batil, hatil. Why should I talk now about hijab? Let me keep the hijab the very last one. It's a byproduct of full iman. Yes? If I start hijab at the beginning, people look at me, how could you dare? You insult me, huh? You're insulting me, huh? I said, leave me alone. They ask me about hijab, I say, I'm not going to give you any material about hijab for the time. So I'm trapped now into it, but I hope you don't mind, okay? You take it seriously. Now, the family values that we are to talk more is the value of respect of the parents and the children and everybody. Your children have to be recognized that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, and many Sahaba have recommended so many things. One of them is that between the first day are born till the 7 years, you have to play with them. I have seen some cases when they reach 3 years, 4 years, they beat them. Why? How come you don't pray with me? Give time. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us at the year of seven, now you start teaching them salah. Let them enjoy life. This is their life of angelic life from one day till 7 years. Let them mimic you, seeing you praying, they'll follow you. But to tell them if you don't pray, I'm beating you, and I saw them, some of them slapping them. That's not the value of raising children. They have to play, you have to play with them. How can I play? I'm too old to play with them. Who told you to wait till you become 30 or 33 and then you got married and then you had children at the age of 35, 50, 40 and now you want to play with them? Allah. Islam says get married at the age of 22. Too early. He just finished his BS or BA. How can I allow my daughter to marry somebody who just finished BA? No, he should have 5 C's. You still remember the 5 C's I said last time or last year? What are those? In Singapore, no one will marry a man unless he has in his custody 5 letters, C, 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 the letter C. What is that? I gave a big lecture about it. They gave me the title. They gave me the title 5 C's. I had to ask them, what is 5 C's? They gave it to me. So I had found them 15, 20 C's better than their 5 C's. The girl will not marry a young man unless he has a career. Start with the letter C, career. Means a degree and professional person. Number two, he has to have credit cards. He has to have a car. He has to have cash in the bank, enough cash, and then condo. There they don't have houses, they have condos only. I wish. This we need it here very much. Believe me, in America we need it very badly. And you know, unfortunately there, every boy has to go to the military service for 2 years. So he is fed up of education. The girls have reached the age of finishing degree at the university. The boys didn't. They went into business, but not intellectual. They couldn't. One young man pretended himself to be a religious person. He enticed them to marry him, and he moved from Singapore to Malaysia at the borderline. You know, there is a borderline. Just cross 1 mile, you'll be in the other country. In the other country, Malaysia, they allow more than one wife. So he enticed. You know how many he married? Graduate from universities with niqab. You know niqab? They are with full hijab and nothing you see except eyes. 10 graduate student girls married that young man. And all are satisfied with him, and he is satisfied with them. Six of them work outside, four of them inside to take care of the babies. In the first year, in the second year, he had 17 babies. How he got from them 17 babies? 3 years later, he had 27 babies. They caught him in Malaysia. They told him, you have no right to marry more than four. How come you have 10? He said, no, go and tell them. They said, we love him. We want him as a husband. We don't want anybody else. They said, no. You go to jail, you have to divorce someone. Because of lack of encouragement of marriage and because of too much request and too much demanding from the families of the girl, so either they marry non-Muslims or they ended up like this situation. And we ended up with too many girls, single. I have seen so many single in Singapore, grown up, PhD, MD. Nobody wants to marry them. The compatibility. When I was in Malaysia, one sister from Santa Clara with her husband there, India, from India, Pakistan, she's acting as a liaison to encourage Muslims from America to go to Malaysia to marry Malaysian girls and bring them here. Because they have plenty of girls unmarried in Malaysia, highly educated. The same thing in Singapore. Same thing now I'm seeing it in America. A large number are unmarried. Family values. I can talk about the children. At the age of 7 till 14, you have to teach them Islam and practice Islam. 14 to 24, you have to treat them as brothers and sisters. No more dictation, no more orders. Your children tell them, you are like my brother. You know what does it mean? You have no right to instruct them. Now, many of us, I'm the boss. I'm the father. When I say, you have to listen. I said, it doesn't work. Neither in Mecca, in the days of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nor here in America. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to even play with his grandchildren, yes or no? Imam Hassan and Hussein, when they were babies, they used to jump on him during Salah. And he used to keep his face on the floor, let them enjoy till they wake up. Here, if anybody comes on our, we beat them, get rid of them. So the values of playing with them as much as possible. Now, some of you might be grandparents. Would you play with your grandchildren? Horsey? Too much. It's even Pharaoh played with Musa, alayhi salam, when Musa was a baby. You know, Musa was adopted with Pharaoh. And what did he do? He tried to play with him up and down. What Musa did to him? Urinated on his face. Urinated on the Pharaoh. Pharaoh wants to kill Musa. May he chop the head of all the boys of Bani Israel. He did not know that Musa is from Bani Israel. He said, how in the world this adopted child urinated on God? I am God. He want to chop his head. They told him, no. He's a baby. So what? He said, no. He's smart. He said, they told him, no. Let us check on his smartness. They brought fire. And they brought a piece of gold. Let's see which one he will catch. If he's smart, he will take the gold. If he's not smart, baby innocent, he will catch the fire. He caught the fire, put charcoal in it. He burned his tongue and mouth. For that reason, Musa alayhi salam, when he grew up and he was recruited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the message, he said, no, ya Allah, it's too much for me. First, you know, when he killed innocently, one man was killed because he was defending one, and he said, I cannot speak properly. My brother Harun afsahu minni lisana. He knows how to speak. Me, stutter. When I was telling my grandchildren, you see, the story, how can you tell a baby child, 2 years or 3 years, what does it mean to stutter? So his name was Mutha, you know, because he cannot speak properly. So this is the only way you have to mimic. I'm telling you this because when you talk to babies and children, you have to act like a child yourself. If you want to bring the seerah to your children, grandchildren, the way you understand mentality, they will not understand. I'll give you an example. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, didn't know his father because he died before he was born. And then his mother. When he was crying to his mother, mommy, where is my father? Crying, huh? Allah. He went to Allah. Why? Because he loves Allah, and Allah loves him, he went to him. Mommy, I want to go to Kmart. Well, I don't have a car. Was there a Kmart at that time? No, you have to bring the history of today there so that you, the children can understand. I don't have money, I don't have car, I don't have, well, let's walk. See, even the idea of bringing Kmart or Vans or whatever grocery store and department store, you have to bring it to their attention today rather than 1,400 years ago in order to let them enjoy the seerah when you are talking any value of respect. When we talk about family values, and by the way, the hadith says after 21 years old, they are independent. You cannot control them, which means you should allow them to get married and settle. Now, the idea of family values, we said respect of mom and dad tremendously. Every place in the Quran you read about respect of parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the mother above the father. And we, you should not feel bad about it. Yes or no? When Allah is saying even hadith, al-jannah tahta aqdam al-ummahat, huh? Jannah at the feet of the mothers. Why? حَمَلَتْهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. Because she conceived him with difficulty and hate, and she delivered him with difficulty and hate. And then she nursed, and then she cleaned, and whatnot. Even if you have a babysitter, and you have a servant, and whatnot, still, you are taking care of your baby. We get fed up, we get tired, we get exhausted. Leave me alone. Is it not true? You can add your experience. If your baby or child, after 2 o'clock night, is being disturbed with nightmare, who's going to take care of him, the mom or the dad? What the dad will say, leave me alone. He may go to another room. He may go to, leave me alone, I'll go to another room to sleep, and you take care of the baby. It's understood. This is what most of them told me like that. So Jannah is for you, Mora. Is it not true in the days of judgment, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us that he's going to be number one entering Jannah, door of Jannah, and Adam behind him? Carrying the flag of Alhamdulillah, while he is to enter this lady shoulder to shoulder before Adam with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jibreel, who's this lady going with me? He said, that is a woman that took care of orphans. A woman who will take care of any orphan will be number one before Adam even. Shoulder to shoulder. Is it not true? Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أنا وكافر اليتيم كأصبعي هاتين. Me and the one who takes care of the orphan like this. We go to Jannah directly. Is it not true also with the family values Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw somebody making tawaf around the Kaaba, carrying a woman around him? When he finished, who's this old woman with you, young man? He said, this is my mother. She cannot make tawaf, so I was carrying her on my back. Did I repay her the favor she did for me, Ya Rasulullah? He said, look here, young man, if you bring your mom from your country on your back, barefooted, and come to Mecca, make tawaf around Kaaba, and make sa'i 7 times between Safa and Marwa, and go and do the rituals to Arafah, Muzdalifah, Mina, and then go back with tawaf, Ifada, and then tawaf Wida, and then go back to your country while your woman, or mother is still on your back, you will never ever repay the favor to your mother. Is it a good thing to teach your children and to the American? You know what I told the teenagers in our neighborhood? I said, imagine yourself, you want to fulfill this hadith, barefooted from your country to go to Mecca from LA. What should you do? You have to walk all the way from the Pacific to the Atlantic, barefooted. How many months it will take you while your mother is on your back? And then when you reach Atlantic, you have to swim like a dolphin, and your mother is on your back. And you are swimming, huh, like a whale, and mom is still on the back to cross the Atlantic. And you reach Gibraltar, Jabal Tariq, you know, and the strait, like a canal. You have still to cross it, and then cross the whole Mediterranean Sea while your mom is still on your back. And then cross Suez Canal while mom is still on your back. And then go to the Red Sea and still mom is on your back. And you land in Jeddah. And now you still mom is on your back. And you have to walk barefooted to Mecca. And then from there you have to make the tawaf 7 times, the sa'i 7 times. Go to Arafah, Mina, Muzdalifah and whatnot. Come back to tawaf. And then go all the way the same thing. It will take you maybe 10 years to finish it, and you are not going to repay the favor to your mother. You know what a young boy, what he went and told mom and dad? He narrated that story to them, and he told them, mom, dad, you know, even what Dr. Sakhar told us this, if on my way I lost one whole leg, because a whale ate my leg. On my coming back, I lost the other leg. Still, mom, I cannot afford to please you or to do favor to you. I mean, he reached a stage of loving his mother so much that even if I'm going to lose even my legs, I'm not going to satisfy you because I love you so much. Don't you feel happy, those who are mothers, to hear stories like this so as your children even appreciate you? So when we are talking about family values, without narrating story from the seerah after story, we can talk family values up in the air without any concrete thing. Stories in family values are must, without which nobody is going to listen to us. Now, in the coming session, we are going to go directly now into the idea of husband-wife relationship and what you are supposed to say to each other and not to say to each other. Something do's and something don'ts. Also, she gave you dua. This, the shortest of all, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a tornado or hurricane or earthquake is coming to hit us. So if you don't want any of those things to happen to us, you say, Allahumma hawalayna wa la alayna. Very simple. Ya Allah, let it be around us but not on us. And really, any time I see a hurricane coming or storm in that part of the world, even driving car, too heavy rain. I said, Ya Allah, I repeat this dua so many times, and really, it reduces on the car, and every place is there except on my car. I said, it's not bragging. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. With the blessing of Allah, that Allah gives it to you, say it. And really, this had happened in the days of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they had a drought. They requested him, and they made Salat al-Istisqa. We should learn all these in the future, how to bring rain. And Allah brought them rain in Mecca, but it was too much. Then, Ya Rasulullah, he said, okay, read this dua. Allahumma hawalayna wa la alayna. Let it be around us, but not on. So the rain went into the mountains and the other places, not on them. But now, suppose it is coming, it is coming, it is coming, whether you like it or not. What should you do? And you are there. And you say, Allahumma hawalayna wa la alayna. And Allah wants it to hit, whether you like it or not. What would you do? Qawm Lut. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to Lut? He said, before Fajr, get out of this city because I am going to send earthquake and I'm going to shower them with brimstones to get rid of their flesh and body so as it will not smell anything. So, if it is going to happen, you have to leave. How can you know? You have to make a special dua, which is found in Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, at the very end of that chapter. رَبِّ إِمَّا تُرِيَنِّي مَا يُوعَدُونَ رَبِّ فَلَا تَجْعَلْنِي فِي الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Ya Allah, if you are going to show me that this crisis is going to happen against these zalim, please let me be outside this city. Let me go. Because Lut was asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leave the town before Fajr, because at Fajr time I'm sending an earthquake, plus I'm going to shower them with brimstones from hell, so as I will burn them into ash. رَبِّ إِمَّا تُرِيَنِّي مَا يُعَدُونَ رَبِّ فَلَا تَجْعَلْنِي فِي الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Repeat those two dua. اللهم حوالينا ولا علينا. اللهم حوالينا ولا علينا. And the other one dua that we said is what? رَبِّ إِمَّا تُرِيَنِّي مَا يُوعَدُونَ رَبِّ فَلَا تَجْعَلْنِي فِي الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. I will learn it more and more, inshallah. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah. through broadcast media and the internet.